That we lift to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, we thank you and praise you for this blessed opportunity that has given us to come together to study from thy word as we continue on the topic of our New Testament priesthood. We pray for your grace and your mercy, your wisdom and understanding. We pray that you may open our hearts and minds to see the precious truths for that we commit this time under thy care. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. We are continuing our study on the topic of the New Testament priesthood. Last week we have covered the introduction part of that. Admit the fact that I was rushing a little bit, it is because I need to cover a lot. So try to slow down a little bit. For the benefit of those who are here for the first time, I want to take a minute to review what we have done last time. At least I wanted to read passages. That is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5 and verse 9. Let's read that. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. May God continue to bless us with these verses. When we look into these two portions, it is very clear that God blessed us with the two great positions. I would say two great titles. Number one, holy priesthood. Number two, royal priesthood. And also we can see the immediate job description also given along with that title. Number one, holy priesthood, meaning to offer spiritual sacrifices. We are standing before God to offer spiritual sacrifices. When we go through the scripture portions, we can see that there are five different sacrifices we ought to do. As a New Testament believer, we are supposed to do five spiritual sacrifices. We will go through that one by one. We'll start with the holy priesthood today. And also we can see when we come to verse 9, royal priesthood, the immediate job description given there, that is to proclaim the excellencies of God. We are standing before man on behalf of God to proclaim the excellencies of God. That is all about service. It's all about witnessing. We will look into that later. Today we are going to start with the holy priesthood. As I said earlier, there are five different areas. There are five different ways we offer spiritual sacrifices. Number one, present yourself. Present yourself. Last week we just started this and we will continue that today. Let's read that first. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And we have already started this one. I know for a fact that we have studied this portion many times in different perspectives. This time I want to focus on the word sacrifice, living sacrifice, because that's what my subject is. What is the meaning of living sacrifice? How do we offer that? What are the challenges behind that? That's what I wanted to look into that this morning. You can see two words I have highlighted there. Number one, present your body. Number two, renewal of your mind. I will go through these two verses. Then after that, we'll come to the word living sacrifice. We know for a fact that this verse, when we look into that, this demands our soul, our body, and our mind. This is the full package that demands our soul, our body, and our mind. The first part of that, we can see that by the mercies of God. What that means is, you have received many mercies. Since you received many mercies, so your soul is redeemed, then present your body. Then after that, present your mind. That is the construction of that two verses we can see. Now, let's look into the word present your body. Last week, we read some verses. I wanted to continue with that. Present your body. This is a really difficult task. Difficult task. But this is very, very important. Why this is important? It is because our body is the temple of God. That is the reason why Apostle Paul is praying like this. I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone should know how to possess his vessel, that is the body, in sanctification and honor. In sanctification and honor. But we know that this is a difficult thing. Why this is difficult? We'll come to that in a minute. This is a difficult thing not only for me, great men of God, Apostle Paul, he's also saying that this is a difficult thing. We know that he's saying that I discipline my body and I keep it under control. I discipline my body and I keep it under control. I bring it into subjection because I have preached to others, then I myself should not be disqualified. But because of that reason, I discipline my body. I bring it under subjection. We know that when we come to Romans chapter 6, members of our body, that can be instruments of unrighteousness. Last week, we looked into chapter 7 of Romans. Then we read that Apostle Paul is saying that I delight in the law of the Lord with my inner being, but I can see another law waging war against the members of my body and making me captive. You feel that captivity. He feels that the war within him. And finally, he's saying that wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of death? Really, really difficult. This morning we heard the standard. John and John reminded us, Apostle Paul and our own John reminded us. What is the standard? Everyone who hopes in him should purify himself as he is purified, as he is pure. That is the standard, high standard. And here we can see it is a difficult task. Difficult task. Why this is difficult? I don't want to use my own words. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that we read that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Some translation says that extremely sick. Extremely sick. That is the reason. It is really hard. Now, what is the solution now? Because how do we offer this? This is a living sacrifice. How do we offer this? That is the reason why we need to look into the second part of the highlighted word, that is renewal of your mind. Root cause of everything, that is mind. Renewal of your mind. We know that the word used here, renewal, is very close to the word renovation. Renovation. We know that word, right? Renovation. Kitchen renovation, bathroom renovation. We have done a small renovation here in this sanctuary. There was a wall there. We demolished that. And there was so much of junk. It was a messy process. It was a dust. There's so much of dust. We took all the junk and put it in the trash. This should happen. This should happen. Over the period of time, so much of junk accumulated in our mind. So we may need to demolish some of that and we need to throw it away. Some of them, we don't even need that. That doesn't contribute towards our spiritual growth. We need to throw it away. That is renewal of the mind. Renewal of the mind. And what is the meaning of living sacrifice? How do we understand that? Living sacrifice. The word sacrifice, it is more of an Old Testament terminology, but Paul has used exactly the same terminology here, sacrifice. Conceptually, it is the same. Dead animal in the Old Testament, New Testament also, dead to sin, dead to worldly passions, dead to fleshly desires. Conceptually, it is the same. But again, what is the meaning of living sacrifice? How do we understand that? When we look at the Old Testament, dead animals are presented there. Though dead animals are presented, the underlying principle behind that, idea behind that, the intention behind that, that is, that was to present living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Let me give you a couple of examples so it will be clear. We know that when we come to Malachi chapter 1, then we read that, you have offered polluted food on my altar. You offer blind, lame, and sick animals. One among you, can you shut the door? I will not accept an offering. I have no pleasure in you. They have offered dead animals. And God is saying that, I will not accept that. Why? Because they offered blind animals. They can argue that it's a dead animal. What difference it will make whether it is dead or blind or not? God is saying that, where is your heart? Where is the purity of your mind? Where is your integrity of your heart? Where is that? That is what the living sacrifice meant for. We can see similar expression in many other portions of Old Testament. For example, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. We learned this in Sunday school. Anybody remember that? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Obey is better than sacrifice. Obey is better than sacrifice. What's the meaning of that? God is saying that if you offer sacrifice, that is great. That is great. That animal, that is great. But I'm looking for obedient heart. That's what the living sacrifice meant for. Obedient heart. Jesus said twice in the book of Matthew, I deserve mercy, not sacrifice. I deserve mercy, not sacrifice. Psalms 51 verse 7, there we read that the sacrifice of God are broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart of God, you will not refuse or despise. So what's the meaning of living sacrifice? The living sacrifice is truthful presentation with purity of our heart, with integrity of our mind. That sacrifice should proceed from the new life within you. That's what the meaning is. So present yourself as a living sacrifice. As a holy priest, it is our primary responsibility to present ourselves. As I said last week, worship doesn't start on Sunday. It starts on individual's life. That's what this verse means. Let's go to the next one. As a holy priest, our responsibility to praise God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Fruit of lips. Here we can see a sacrifice. Praise to God. Praise to God. Explanation is also given there. That is the fruit of lips. What is that? Fruit of lips. What is that? The words that is coming from your mouth. That is fruit of lips. Acknowledge the name of God. Where is that coming from? Where is the origin of that? Where is the origin of that? Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, there we read that. Abundance of heart, mouth speaks. That is the origin. When your heart filled with the joy, when your heart filled with the thanksgiving, when your heart cannot contain that, it will overflow. And it will come through your mouth. That is the thanksgiving. Praise to God. When your heart cannot contain that, when your joy, your heart will be filled with joy and thanksgiving, that will come through your mouth and you'll say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy that some of you joined with me. I can see some whispering lips. You know, if you truly know the meaning of that, truly know the meaning of praise the Lord or the value of that, I'm pretty sure that we all will say praise the Lord. one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Let me read one more verse. That is Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song. We know that in Old Testament, many places, song is used as for the thanksgiving. God enthroned the praises of his people. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. A really interesting verse. I wanted to explain the second part of that. This will please the Lord. It's a comparative statement. This will please the Lord. What will please the Lord? Thanksgiving will please the Lord more than ox or a bull with horns and hooves. Horns and hooves meaning with all its beauty. All its beauty. Thanksgiving will please the Lord more than ox or hooves with all its beauty. When we go to Old Testament, do you remember last week I mentioned about five offerings of Old Testament? Leviticus chapter 1 to 5, we can see five offerings. Burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering, five offerings. And out of all these five offerings, the first one, burnt offering, is considered as the highest of all that. It is because that typifies the death of Jesus Christ. Burnt offering, chapter 1 of Leviticus. And also when we study that book of chapter 1 of Leviticus, we can see that there are three types of offering there. Three types of offering. Number one, verse 2. If any one of you bring an offering, bring a bull from your livestock. That is the first and the topmost instruction. First and the foremost instruction to bring a bull. And if you are not capable for that, there are other options also. Verse 10, sheep or God. And if you are not capable for even for that also, other options given, dove or pigeon, verse 14. God is gracious. God will accept all of that. No doubt about that. But the first and foremost instruction to bring bull. Look at this verse now. Thanksgiving. Our feeble words of thanksgiving. That will please the Lord more than the highest offering of the Old Testament mentioned. That is ox or a bull with all its beauty. So can we also praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. That is a sacrifice. That is a sacrifice. I want to read one more verse, then I want to leave from there. That is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Not reading the whole passage, we know that on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus met with 10 lepers. 10 lepers. And we can see that verse 13, lifted up their voices. Who lifted up voices? All 10 of them lifted up their voices. What was their request? Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Great. When we come to verse 15, we can see another loud voice. But that was a solo. One person, we can see a loud voice in verse 15. One person came back. We can see a common nature of human being. Only a few persons will turn back and say, thank you. This is a sacrifice. Now, an interesting observation there, verse 19, where we read that, raise and go your way. That shows the posture. Raise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. But I thought, verse 14, they already cleansed, all of them cleansed. Then what's the meaning of verse 19? What that means is, all 10 of them were materially blessed. But when we come to verse 19, that one person blessed spiritually and materially. Or in other words, Jesus is saying that, you came back to say thank you, right? That is well-pleasing in the sight of God. well-pleasing in the sight of God. All right, let's move to the next one, to good work. As a holy priest, we can see another sacrifice here, do good work. In fact, you can see that it is a plural, sacrifices. In that verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, two sacrifices given. Let's go by one. Do not neglect to do good. That sacrifice is pleasing to God. Do good. We know that we have been saved not because of any works we have done. God the Father elected us in eternity past, and He appointed His Son to do whatever need to be done. And He came down, died on the cross of Calvary. That is the finished work. Finished work. Perfect work. We didn't do anything. And we wouldn't be able to do anything also. But we know that God kept something for us to do, that is good work. Titus chapter 3, 4 and 5, there we read that the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior appeared. He saved us, not because of any what we had done in righteousness. It is because of His mercy. Mercy was the only condition. That was the only reason why God selected us, elected us. But when we come to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, there we read that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We don't have to create anything. God created for us beforehand. All we need to do, seek and find and do that. Doing good work is one of the responsibilities of a holy priest. Let's move on to the next one. Number 4, share what you have. Share what you have. Let's read that one more time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to share what you have. Such sacrifice is pleasing to God. Such sacrifice is pleasing to God. I remember that back in my home assembly, when they prepared the table Sunday morning, bread, wine, and also offering back along with that, because they considered offering, sharing, is part of the worship based on this verse. I know that there is a small booklet outside there, Christian giving. We promise that you read this, I can easily skip this because this book says everything. Sometimes when we have in-house resources like this, we may not feel that kind of a value in that, but this book says everything. You know, in Old Testament, it's not a New Testament idea that to share. We can see that in Old Testament also. In Old Testament tabernacle time, everything built is from offering of God's people. What was the source? What was the source? God laid in the hearts of Egyptians to give to the children of Israel. Children of Israel received from Egyptians, and they carried it through the wilderness and gave it when it was the time to build the tabernacle. Now, when we say we have to share what we have from our possession, what is our resource? Of course, our hard work, whatever is the work, from the paycheck, we are getting it from our paymaster. But I want to tell you that that is from our Lord. It is because God is the one giving us every opportunity. God is the one giving us ability to work. When I say ability, mental ability, physical ability, all the resources is coming from Lord. Therefore, what we have is from Lord. No doubt about that. Don't we be blessed abundantly? We are wonderfully blessed. No doubt about that. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Not only that, we blessed materially. No doubt about that. Out of what God gave us, we are giving back. It is called sharing. I want to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all? I know that this is a little big subject, but I want to give you a really good model from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We can see Church of Macedonia, a really, really good example. They have demonstrated liberality, generosity, not because they were rich. They were extremely, extremely poor. In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their extreme poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. It is because they were resembling the characteristics of their Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we can see in chapter 8, verse 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. In response to that, Apostle Paul is saying that 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, this ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. So my time is up, so I'm going to stop here. So we have gone through four different responsibilities. Next week, we will look into the next one. Then we'll go to Royal Easter. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Gracious God, our heavenly and loving Father, eternal God, we thank you and praise you for this blessed opportunity thou hast given us to come together to study from thy word. Thank you for your salvation. Along with that, you have given us great responsibilities. And we thank you for that. Every good things are coming from above, the Father of lights. In him there is no variation, there is no shadow of change. We pray that as we go through these responsibilities, help us to do this diligently, faithfully in the days to come, so that we commit unto thy hand. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray.